keep your hand on the plow and don't look back, we hear. Freedom seems to come as you take steps. It was January 27th, 1956. As a 27-year-old, Martin Luther King Jr. sat in his kitchen early in the morning, Montgomery, Alabama, nursing a cup of coffee, unable to sleep, with his life threatened and boycotts of the buses failing. We think of this story from the other end. Earlier in the evening, the caller had warned, if you're not out of town in 3 days, we're going to blow up the house. And he later recounted it this way. I bowed down over the cup of coffee and I prayed out loud. Lord, I'm trying to do what's right, and I'm pretty sure I'm doing exactly what's right because I think the cause is right. But I have to confess, I feel weak, and I feel faltering, and I feel like I'm losing my courage. And I don't want people to see me quite like this, because if they see me weak and losing my courage, I think they will too. And he heard the words of this proverb, keep your hand on the plow. So he prayed for the gift of perseverance, the gifts of the Spirit we just heard about. And he kept his grasp on the plow. And he writes, at this moment, I heard this inner voice say to me, stand up for righteousness, stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and I will be with you. Keep the fight. And I won't leave you alone. And he knew that night, he writes, that freedom and the presence of the Spirit is palpable. Many of us have known this too. I've heard you all talk about this, that Jesus Christ brings freedom for each and every single one of us. Incredible, right? Transformational, incredible. Freedom from what holds us back. Freedom from the strain, the yoke, the dailiness, the mundane of life, the drudge of pain. Paul writes to the church at Galatia, for freedom has Christ set us free. So stand firm and don't submit to that yoke of slavery. Free indeed are we who know that Jesus. The Jesus who taught tenderly the closest ones who came to him, the 12 who drew close and who asked really good questions. Tell me again, they would say. I don't quite get it. I know I've been here and heard it a whole bunch of times, but tell me again what you've been teaching. The countercultural message that you've been telling us. This message that the body of Christ is my family. Even as we heard, not the family of origin. Not that there's anything wrong with the family of origin. The great preacher Fred Craddock once delivered a sermon called The Gospel as Hyperbole. He observed that Jesus never hesitated to use images larger than life to catch the attention of those who were gathered around. Think about this for a moment. The gospel is loaded with these statements that seem almost ridiculous on their face. Remove that log pole from your own eye before criticizing someone else. If you have just an itty bit, a little bit of faith, you can move a whole big mountain. A shepherd should abandon all 99 of these sheep over here just to get one of this over there? If everything Jesus was written down, the whole world couldn't contain those books. However, if less than over the top, you realize that the kingdom of God Jesus came to announce in all of its power is salvific freedom for all of creation. Somehow you and I just can't overstate it, just can't overshare it, can't say enough of God's freedom. William Willimon, the bishop in the Methodist Church and former dean of the Duke Chapel, often said he got one complaint regularly from parents. Parents who would ring up the chapel. Parents of college students don't tend to call and complain that often to a chapel, but this complaint he got. Parent on the other end would always call and say this: "What are you doing in that chapel? What are you telling my students?" My students went to the chapel wanting to be a research scientist, and now they want to be a medical missionary to Haiti. You've ruined their lives. What kind of Jesus are you telling them about? Indeed, there are times that you and I are called to share such faith that it may just be that kind of transformational. It may just be so incredible that it changes a life path, that it changes a commitment, even if it's sacrificial. It might not be surprising that we pause and listen for where God is calling us to share a little bit of where God's moved in our lives, because God calls us specifically to share our own stories of where we've known freedom in our lives. For anyone who's loved and seen others loved, I do have to say our gospel lesson might have sounded a little bit harsh when we hear Jesus say, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Sometimes that rubs us a little bit the wrong way. Sometimes that sounds a little bit unusual or a little bit harsh as we hear Jesus say that. When we hear him say, "Let me go say goodbye to those who are at home," and we hear him brush it off a little bit. There's certainly nothing wrong with kind-hearted gestures, and we might find ourselves uncomfortable with the way it's been responded to. But let me invite you this morning to hear it a little bit differently. Jesus encourages us to hear the priorities of the kingdom as immediate and the time as short. Instead of giving to Jesus the full of our attention, those who responded said, "Yes, sure, I'm going to get to it, but I have these other things I need to do over here first. I promise, Jesus, I'm going to get to you. You're about number four on my priority list. I'm going to come and follow you in just a couple minutes. Let me get to you once I do the other things that I need to do." Freedom allows you and I to say, "I'm going to follow you right now. No delay. No turning back." The reign in the kingdom of God calls us to choose right now. When Frances Asbury was 11, this boggles my brain, 11 years old, he began to work. I didn't work at 11. Did any of you work at 11? When he was 11, he began to work and support his family. Unfortunately, this wasn't unusual in 1756 in Hampstead, England. What was unusual is that the Holy Spirit caught a hold of him at this age. And shortly after he started working, he also began to start preaching. He started to hear revivalists on the street corners, and he couldn't get enough of hearing about Jesus. So he got a license to preach at 17. He's starting to make me feel a little badly about myself as to what he's done already. And at 21, after a long decade of working, he gave up his work as a saddler and he started preaching exclusively. He was ordained at 21, and during our American Revolution, Francis Asbury is sent as one of the first bishops, one of two, to the American colonies and traveled 300,000 miles in the American colonies, soon to be the new country, and they think that he delivered 16,000 sermons. I think I got a few to deliver before I make it up to Asbury's numbers. His preaching, they're guessing, was foundational to many revolutionaries as well. His own freedom led to the freedom of others, because we never have freedom just for ourselves. Our freedom as followers of Jesus is not just a long ago possibility or something we put off until all the other items on our list is checked off. We're called to freedom in Christ here and now, today. We know freedom first in Christ. Our freedom as followers of Jesus doesn't sound the same as the language we hear around us in our culture. It doesn't sound like, I'll just do it my way. That's not the way it sounds. It doesn't sound like, it's my life and I can do with it what I want. It doesn't sound like it's my property and my money, and it doesn't sound like nation first. In the same way that dividing families from one another or placing children in cages erases the image of God from those beloved children. When you and I heard the question, do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, like we ask our confirmands and our new members earlier this month. We heard that question out of baptismal vows because it shapes who we are with freedom in Christ. As we listen to Jesus this morning urge us to follow him, we hear that call again to accept the freedom, the power that God gives us to resist the evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. And God calls us again to act upon it, to act as if this was already God's kingdom, because this is what it means when we pray together, God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. When we praise God for the glimpses of where it already is, when we tell the story of our own freedom so it becomes as familiar as a security blanket that we can hold on to. And we give thanks, friends, for the witness of those who shared their own freedom with us so that we can share it with others. When we follow the way of Jesus, we turn towards love and peace, joy and patience, kindness and generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those fruits of the Spirit are gifts in the freedom of Christ if we but only put put our trust in Jesus. So I pray this week, you might be urged to share your witness so that others may too know the hope of Jesus and break their own chains of oppression and sin to know the wholeness and healing in Jesus Christ. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.